Dale. You'll remember it. It's the story of the man who was so certain of the power of his faith and so sure that God would hear his cries for help. In a flood that forced him to the rooftop of his house, the man, confident in his faith in God, began to pray. A neighbor on a raft floated by in the flood. The neighbor said, "I've got room for you too." "I'm good," the man said. "God will provide. God will save me." As the waters continued to rise, a motorboat passed close to the man's rooftop. "Hop in," the rescuers called. "No thanks," the man said. "I have faith in God. I will be okay." Next, a helicopter came by, tossed out a rope. "Grab the rope," the rescuers said. "I'll be fine," replied the man. "God will provide." Well, the waters continued to rise, and the man drowned. Being a man of faith, naturally, he arrived in heaven, and he went to confront his Maker. He went to God and said, "I was faithful. I led a good life. I prayed to you to save me. Where were you?" God said, "I sent you a raft, a motorboat, and a helicopter." This passage from Mark's gospel tells the story of Jesus' miraculous healing of Bartimaeus, a blind beggar who is seated by the road where Jesus and the disciples are traveling as they leave Jericho. Bartimaeus hears that Jesus will soon be passing along the road. And we can imagine this man, can't we? Dependent upon the generosity, the pity of those who travel this road. We can picture Bartimaeus in his cloak, a garment wrapped around his shoulders, perhaps spread beneath him as he sits on the roadside, the cloak probably tattered and worn, onto which passersby might toss a coin or two. The first century equivalent of a stranger standing at a stoplight in the median in a busy city with a cardboard sign. The blind man, hearing that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, knows what the disciples are slow to see. Bartimaeus knows that this is the son of David, the royal line of Jesse, the king, the Messiah. And the blind man calls out to him, shouts even, asking for mercy. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those in the crowd order him to be quiet, but he cries out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Others nearby try to silence him. Who is this beggar to assert himself in this way? Is he not just part of the roadside detritus? Is he not a mere nobody? But Bartimaeus persists. He will be heard. And Jesus hears. He pauses. He listens, and he invites the blind man to come to him. And here's the remarkable part of this story, and I invite you to pay particular attention to this part. The blind man goes to Jesus. Bartimaeus doesn't just fumble about inching his way forward. Look at the text. He doesn't wait passively. The blind man throws off his cloak. He springs to his feet. Bartimaeus chooses to go to Jesus. Jesus says the same thing to Bartimaeus that he said to James and John when the sons of Zebedee asked to sit on either side of Jesus in his glory. Jesus says to the blind man who calls out to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man asks for his sight to be restored. And there, quite simply, quite miraculously, is the resolution. The blind man asks for wholeness. Jesus heals, and Bartimaeus turns and follows Jesus. The blind man's faith made him well. And that faith is demonstrated when he chooses to go to Jesus. This blind beggar is an outsider. He is the other in this story. Many try to silence him. And yet, what we know of Jesus' ministry is, of course, that he is most present with those in need. The man in the flood was faithful, but he stopped short of choosing to follow the path, the many paths laid before him, a raft, a boat, a helicopter. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus hears us when we cry out. Jesus invites us to follow in the way of love. It's not enough to just stand by. We have to go. We have to go to Jesus. God is with us, but we are more than mere passive recipients. We have our own sensibilities. We have our own intellect. We have individual choice and independent agency. We are not merely passive, but responsible for our own actions, our own choices, even our attitudes. Last Sunday, we visited with our neighbors from Fire Station 1. Our children decorated thank you cards. We shared cookies and cider. One of the firemen, Neil, showed the children all of his gear. He explained what each belt or hook or hose did as he put it on, showing how it became part of his uniform. And he let the children see up close what the various pieces looked like, inviting their questions. And Sandy McKenna asked really good questions, too. When he got to the oxygen mask and the headgear and the oxygen tank, Neil carefully explained how covering his head protected him and allowed him to breathe through the smoke and the fire. And he put that head covering on, he put the mask on, and then quickly removed it, saying, "See, it's still me. I look like a scary monster, but it's still me." And he put the mask back on, and he spoke once again, his voice now distorted. And then he put the oxygen hose onto the front of the mask, his voice distorted even further, saying to the children, "It's still me. It's still me. And if you ever see me in there, and if there's smoke or fire around you, I want you to come to me. Don't be afraid. Don't hide under the bed. I'm here to help if there's a fire." Neil's message was powerful. It was a powerful one of individual choice, of empowerment for these children, of safety, teaching the children at once not to be afraid of the firemen in full gear, and to actively seek help if needed. We are not merely passive, but responsible for our own actions, choices, even attitudes. We are walking in the way of Jesus. Jesus and Bartimaeus illustrate this simple but clear principle. And when Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus pauses. He listens. And then the blind man chooses to follow him. And this is something that we can do too. It's something that we must do. We can pause, we can listen as Jesus did. Listen to the voices that cry out. Listen to those who are on the roadside, who are on the fringes, to those who have no power, to those whose dignity is compromised. Listening means that we will listen not only to those around us, but listen also for the still small voice of God, or maybe the voice of God that rises above the drone of a motorboat or the beating of a helicopter. And we can choose to follow. We can follow Jesus, trusting in him and giving thanks for grace and mercy. What do you see in the world that needs healing? And where can you take a step to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to pray for those in need? And importantly, what does your own healing look like? What steps do you need to take? Is it the first step of calling a doctor, visiting the therapist, taking it one day at a time at AA or NA? Is it offering apology for a recent wrong or from long ago? Is it asking for forgiveness? Or is it the harder task of offering forgiveness? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks. Pause, listen, and we will turn to you.